Let us turn our attention to God's holy word. We have two passages tonight. The first one is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22, which is also our text from verse 17 and 18. And then we'll turn our attention to Isaiah 57, verses 14 to 21, which is one of the verses which Paul quotes and Paul is referring to in our text. So let us begin with Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 11 to 22. If you have a Pew Bible, that's on page 1242. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to the end of the chapter. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles, that's non-Jewish, in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, that's the Jewish people, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And then our text, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we have both access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit. Now let us turn to Isaiah chapter 57, the verses 14 to the end of the chapter. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 14 to the end of the chapter. And it shall be said, build up, prepare the way, remove every obstruction from my people's way. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would grow faint before me, and the breath of life that I made. Because of the iniquity of his unjust gain, I was angry. I struck him, I hid my face, and was angry. But he went on backsliding in the way of his own heart. I have seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and his mourners, creating the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to the far and to the near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. The Heavenly Father, we pray, as we look at your amazing word, which you teach it to us, would you, O Christ, speak to us tonight? For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, we continue in our study or our walk through the book of Ephesians, and we've come to the topic of preaching. If you notice, there is a preacher in our text. And so our question is, especially because we spend every week a good morning and afternoon listening to preaching, being under preaching, what is preaching? In many Protestant churches around the world, preaching is at the center of our worship services. If you remember, in the Reformation, the pulpit came to the center of the church, but this was by no means to elevate the preacher. It was to bring preaching to a central place. But what is preaching in its essence? The New Testament is filled with words as preaching and teaching and proclamation and evangelism. Actually, the word in our text here, he came and preached peace, is the word he came and evangelized peace. He brought good news of peace to us. Now, there are all kinds of preachers in the world today. Some preachers are funny and some are very solemn and serious. Some are cheerful, others are fearful. Some are engaging, others are boring. Some are doctrinal, others are storytellers. And people often say, well, preaching is this, preaching's got to be like that. And there's all kinds of books written about how to preach and what a good preacher looks like. But true preaching is not some kind of storytelling. It is more than teaching truths or pressing them on the heart. The New Testament preacher is a channel through which God speaks. There is nothing in the preacher himself. He is merely a channel. True preaching is a holy event, a divine moment in which God speaks to his people. That's why we gather every Sunday. That's why we come and we spend so much time listening to sermons, not because a person that stands in front is interesting, but because we want to hear from God. We want to hear the word of God. We want God to be speaking. That's why we pray, Lord, lift yourself up in the midst. You be the center and not man. You see, when there is a true preaching, it contains a message that God had predestined to speak before the world began at this time, at this day, to these people. That's what true preaching is. That's why I need the Holy Spirit when I speak to you, because it is not my words or my message that I bring, nor any other preacher's message in this world. It is a moment where God speaks to his people through a human agent using a human voice. Beloved, after all of this, if we look at the New Testament, our text tonight, there is only one true preacher in the New Testament that really honors the name of being a preacher, and not one kind of preacher. This is not going to be a sermon. What? How can you discern the best kind of preaching? No, I'm saying there is one actual preacher in the New Testament. All God's preachers, of human preachers in this world, are only tools through which this one great preacher speaks to his people. When the Ephesians heard this preacher, something changed. They didn't hear a message from man. They heard a message from God. They were touched by the words, transformed by the words, and brought into the presence of God by the words of this preacher. And I'm not seeing this man, but this great preacher that was speaking through this man. The message had made peace between them and God. It wasn't that they heard a person saying something and they relied upon this person. But as this preacher spoke, God was speaking through him and God was calling to his people. And so tonight, we must look not as preaching what man does, but as the true preacher. So we will look first at the preacher of peace, then at the message of peace, and then the result or the fruit of peace. Now, I've been saying there is this one great preacher. I want you to open your Bibles and look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17, and you will see right what I mean. And he, our text says, came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. Who is he here? Well, if you look at verse 14, that was the subject of the sentence, right? We're still in these incredibly long sentences of Paul. He was saying Christ came, and then Christ, he was made peace for us, and then Christ came and preached peace to you. Isn't that amazing? That Paul can write to the Ephesian church that Christ came and preached peace to them. Did God or did Jesus Christ ever visit Ephesus when he walked upon this earth? That's not what Paul is speaking about. He is not saying that Paul went around, that Jesus went around to all these places and he preached to them, peace to them. That's not what Paul is saying. What Paul is saying is when you heard the gospel, it wasn't man speaking the gospel to you. It was Christ speaking through the preacher. That is true preaching. When Christ is the preacher. You see, sometimes we may seek to elevate man because they may be very eloquent or may be very strong and the message might come cut and deep into the heart. But my dear friends, at the end of the day, preachers are just like John, a voice that is speaking the words. If it's true preaching or not, the preacher's words. They're not the preacher's message. They are the one that Christ speaks through. And so the people, if there's true preaching, people begin to worship God and begin to fall in love with this preacher of peace. You see, it was said of Spurgeon, when people went out to find the secret of these great preachers in London, and they went to the first to hear him, and they came back and they said, we really don't need to go to Spurgeon because this man is an amazing preacher. If we just learn from this man, we will be all good preachers. And then they went to hear Spurgeon, and they came back, and they say, Christ is an amazing Savior. God is an amazing Savior. You see what had happened? It wasn't about the man. True preaching is not elevating a man. It's preaching Christ. It's when you meet, beloved, your Savior through the preaching. You don't come to hear a man. You come to hear God. You don't go to the house of a man. You come to the house of God. You don't sing to each other. You sing to God. And so, this is the amazing thing. Paul is not speaking about Jesus' earthly ministry. He is speaking about Jesus himself. After he went into heaven, came and preached peace to the Ephesian believers. And I want you to realize this. That's universal in every Christian. If you're a Christian, if you believe in Christ, it's because Jesus has come and spoken peace to you. You see that? This is not some kind of mechanism where Christ is at the beginning, he passes on a message, and the message just kind of goes on from generation to generation, and then in the end it comes to us. No, my friend. The Bible is a living word. Christ uses it and preaches to you. He speaks to your heart. That's why when you hear one man speaking, you begin to fall in love with another, namely Christ. That's when God speaks to his people. You see, that preaching is glorious, isn't it? Because it's not about the man. It's something far greater. It's about the God who speaks to his people. You see, when you have all these words in the Gospels, right, and you see Christ speaking to the blind, to the lame, to the sick. He speaks a word and they're healed. He does the same today. That's what Paul, do you see that? He came and preached peace to you. Not in general, to you. He established peace by preaching, speaking to you. That's why when you come to the gate of heaven and you say, I believe in Christ, if you truly are a Christian, why do you believe in Christ? Because Christ himself declared peace to you. And so, how did this preaching happen? Did the preacher somehow alter his appearance? Did he begin to glow and then they realized that Christ was speaking to them? No, the words or the voice of the preacher did not alter. He did not begin to glow or suddenly had a different kind of appearance. And yet this preaching is not common speech. The messengers were not declaring their own thoughts. They were messengers for another. They were messengers for God. It was the authority that you read in the New Testament. where it says Jesus spoke with great authority. That's coming through true preaching. You see, if you find that a person is very persuasive, but it doesn't change you, you know what happens? He's a very persuasive man, but the authority of God is not speaking through it. But if you find a man who is really not that great, and yet you find your heart gripped and you find yourself changed, why? Because Jesus is speaking through the man. There is no honor for a preacher. See, I think a preacher is the only one who stands before people and proclaims and yet has never for a moment the chance to get glory and honor for himself. Because we know, as with Moses, if we take glory for ourselves, God will cut us down. Because preaching is not something light. It's not something, just something we do. It is holy. It is the ark of God, if you will, by which God saves his people, by which God brings people to himself. And as soon as man begins to alter the ark of God, he dies. And so, beloved, if I may insert this, you must pray for your preachers, or they will die. If they are preachers, they bring to you holy words from God, the unalterable word of God, so that you might hear from God. And so, as Jesus was speaking through the preacher, it was the authority of Jesus Christ that was laid upon the message. But Paul goes even further. He says, and it was declared that the authoritative voice of Jesus was speaking to them and declared peace to them. Do you see that? He preached, he proclaimed, he brought the good news of peace. He established peace between God and the people among each other. You see, this is, if you take anything from tonight, take this. If you're in Christ, you have become Christians by the work of Christ himself. You see that? Not just by him going upon the cross, not just by him going to heaven and sitting on the right hand of God the Father by the resurrection power, no, by him himself speaking life to you through the gospel. That's what it means. That he came and preached peace to you. Beloved, as it was in the times of Jesus, so it is today. You know, two people can hear the same sermon, and Jesus might be speaking through the same sermon. The one hears the voice of God, and the other one falls asleep or is bored. Why? Those who come to hear Jesus Christ with faith will hear the word of God when it is truly spoken. And those who come to meet Jesus, they will meet their God and Savior in the gospel. They will hear and they will find God in the message. Because it is not the words of men that makes you meet God, it's the Spirit of God that makes these words alive and you have fellowship with God. That's why sometimes isn't it amazing when you hear a sermon or even when you're just speaking to each other, it's almost like God is right there saying it to you. Because it is him speaking to you. Isn't that amazing? Shouldn't that make us fall flat on our face? All of us, including the preacher and the elders and the deacons, every man, fall on our face, that God speaks to us. Who is this Jesus who is preaching to us? Paul tells us he is preaching peace to those who are far and to those who are near. Now, I don't know if you caught it, but when we read Isaiah, that same phrase, or almost the entire phrase, is copied from Isaiah 57, verse 19. Let me read that verse to you. Isaiah 57, verse 19 says in the second part, "Peace, peace to the far and to the near," says the Lord. And this is what Paul is doing. He's saying that prophecy of the Old Testament in Isaiah, those words that were spoken then, Christ has spoken to you Gentiles. Now, who is this one who is speaking? Isaiah 57, verse 14 and 15. Now, I want you to realize, as we read these words, these are holy words. And when we realize who speaks to us, it should enter into our hearts, for this is the one who speaks. And it shall be said, build up, prepare the way, remove every obstruction from my people. Do you remember those words? Who removes every obstruction before the Lord? John the Baptist. It's the same passage. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. My dear friends, this is the God who speaks to us. This is the one who says, come and make peace with me. He dwells in the high and the holy place. He is the one who is high and lifted up. He says, well, if he is high and lifted up, how can he preach peace to us? If that's high, we are low. Listen to this. I also dwell with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. This is what Paul is saying. This is what God is telling us. When preaching the gospel, what happened when you come to know Christ, what happened is this. The one who is high and lofty and holy above all things came to preach peace to you who were contrite and broken over your sin and made peace. You see that? Isn't that amazing? If you have any, if you follow any of these things, you can understand why the reformers placed the pulpit at the center. They weren't interested in an eloquent man. They wanted to hear God speak. They wanted the high and lofty one, the holy one, to come and speak to them of being of contrite heart. And so they were constantly saying, we must humble ourselves so God speaks to us. We want God to speak to us. This is the preacher of peace. He is the one who is high and lifted up. This Jesus comes and speaks the word of peace to those who are broken and needy. And this is what happens in true preaching. It's God speaking to man. That's why we call it a holy day. Because we meet God. The one who is high speaks peace to those who have humbled themselves. You see, this is the miracle of preaching. It's not the voice or the power of the preacher that makes the people hear the voice of Jesus. It is in their own condition. Those who are of a contrite heart before God, they hear him speak. This Jesus has removed every obstruction to establish eternal peace between God and his people. Isn't that glorious? Now, who can say anything after that? Well, we must turn to the message of peace. What is the message of peace that Jesus preached to the Ephesians and is preaching today through his servants? It's the message of peace. Isaiah 57, verse 18 says this, I have seen his ways. It's God speaking, Christ speaking. I have seen his ways. He's now talking about the contrite man, the one who had broken God's will, who had become a sinner. I've seen his ways, but I will heal him. I will lead him and restore comfort to him and his mourners, creating the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to the far and to the near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. Hear these amazing words, beloved church. God saw our ways. God knew what we have done. God knew what we did. But still, He comes to heal us after everything we've done, to restore us, to restore comfort to us, to give us a clean conscience and a new heart and a new spirit, calling us saints, anew in Christ, made new, holy ones before the Holy One. You see that? The Jews, they were under the curse because they had broken the law. Those who are the ones who are near in our text. We Gentiles were His enemies because we didn't even have the law. We followed in the ways of sin and darkness. We are the ones who were far off. As we read in Ephesians 2 verse 4, we were by nature children of wrath. See, that's the downside of preaching in small sections. It's hard to link it sometimes, but Paul is still speaking. 2 verse 4, we were by nature children of wrath. We were the enemy of God, so to speak, in the crosshairs of His wrath. But Jesus came down and received the arrows of God's wrath so we might survive and live and be called sons of the living God. Then, with the wounds in His body, He came and preached peace for all who come to God with a contrite heart. Do you see the miracle? Do you see what is going on? Oh, dear friends, have you made God your peacemaker? Have you made peace with God? He has come to preach peace to you. And to me, we who are far off. You know, the amazing thing is when it says far off without any specification, it doesn't matter how far you are. You can be on the other side being the most immoral person. Or you can be a person who's been living a righteous life outwardly, but in the heart struggle. You can be as far and as near as you want, but Christ comes and preaches peace. He is not looking for radical testimonies of only murderers coming to Christ. He is looking for the one who gossips in their heart. He's preaching peace to all men so that whoever comes to Him might be saved. Have you made peace with God? Has the Spirit of God bore witness with your spirit that you are a child of God? Have you come to know the peace that passes all understanding? Isaiah tells us what this peace means. I will heal him and I will lead him and restore comfort to him. Beloved, come and see the blessed healer of hearts. This is the marvelous power of this preacher of peace. When he speaks, it comes to pass. When he comes to you and he invites you, like tonight, and he says, come and make peace with me. I know there's things between us. I know there's this inseparable wall of sin. I tear it down and make peace. I know your heart is a battlefield of selfish thoughts and struggles and unbelief. I will wipe it clean and make you a new heart. I will make peace. I know your flesh wants to walk on in sin. I will make peace. I will make peace. When Jesus spoke to the blind man, see, he saw. When Jesus spoke to the deaf man, hear, his ears were opened. When Jesus spoke to the lame man, stand up and walk, his legs were strengthened and he walked. When Jesus spoke to the dead man, live, he rose again from the dead and lived. This preacher is not like you and me. When he speaks, it happens. When he says, come to me and you will have peace, as soon as you come to him, there is peace. Isn't that amazing? You see, if I was the preacher tonight, I could speak all day long until I'm blue in the face, but I couldn't establish anything. Christ speaks, and it's come to pass. When Jesus speaks to sinners today, they become saints. Isn't that amazing? Beloved, you have known the Lord for so long, who've walked with Him so long, remember the Christ that saved you. Remember the Christ that rose you from the dead. See again the power of Christ when He preaches, when He speaks and there's life. When Jesus speaks, there's healing. You see, this doctor of the heart never loses a patient who puts his trust in Him. This doctor never closes his office to those who cry for healing. He can heal every heart, no matter how broken or how sick it is. But I must give you a warning, for there is a different gospel going around the streets these days. A gospel that says that come and Jesus will forgive you your sins. You will not be changed. You will not even notice a change. You would just walk on in your sins. You just got to get this ticket so that at the end of your life, you're going to heaven. When you go to heaven, then the doors will be opened. My dear friends, this is a lie. This is a gospel, a pseudo-gospel, a fake gospel from the pit of hell. Do you really think that the God who sent His Son to die for our sins would allow us to live on in our sins unchanged? Do you really think that God who promised the Holy Spirit would let believers walk on in their sin and nothing ever changes? You see the folly? Do you really think that God who can do all things, His Holy Spirit, who created the world, who can do anything, comes to live in a human being, and the human being is unchanged? You see, often we hear these statistics, well, there's as much immorality inside the church as outside of the church. But my dear friend, make no mistake about it. Those who are in Christ are different people. Oh yes, they can still sin. But it's entirely different. As soon as they're sin, they're like like they can't breathe. They have to get out of this. And if they're foolish enough to take another step, it takes them by the throat and brings them back. Get out of this. This will kill you. When Christ preaches peace, peace is made. Peace in the heart, peace between you and God, peace between you and your fellow man. Now, we're not speaking about sinless perfection. We're not saying that as soon as a person becomes a Christian, there will no more any sin. That there's just never a bad thought or a jealous word or something like that. But this is what we speak about. When the Holy Spirit comes upon a person, when there is a relationship, this is what Paul is saying, when you're in Christ in peace, you will begin to grow. And God will pluck sins out of your life. First, maybe the outward things, the obvious things, and then in the heart. And longer you go, the worse you feel, really. Because the sins of the heart seem to be so hard to root out. But God is changing you. He's bringing you closer and closer to the light like He did with Israel when he went into the land of Canaan. He said, I'm not going to give you the whole land at one time. I'm going to give you city by city, because else the wild animals will come and overtake you. In the same way, He works in our heart. One city at a time, one stronghold at a time, changing us and transforming us. For the Prince of Peace takes over all the land of the heart, doesn't He? Isn't that amazing? That this great King is always at work in our hearts, even though it's painful at times. When we think we got victory over something and then He shows us a deeper layer of the heart and still the jealousy pops out. or still that pride comes in. It's like this root that you think you got the root and you just keep pulling and pulling and pulling. But my dear friends, if you're in Christ, don't forget, there's a lot of root that is already behind you. But a gospel that says there is no change is no good news at all. I mean, look at the New Testament. It's everywhere, isn't it? The Old Testament, the righteous, please God, the wicked. There's two people, the righteous and the wicked. You cannot be a wicked person in the same way that anybody else is a wicked person who doesn't have the Holy Spirit and be a Christian. So, Isaiah 57 gives them a warning. Did you see that at the end? It's hard, right? When you read these prophecies of the prophets, you think, finally, we're up on the way to healing, and great, this is wonderful. And then he gives a warning. He says, but the wicked are like a tossing of the sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. They cannot be quiet. Their wickedness never stops. But the righteous, those who have heard Christ speak, the Lord is subduing their hearts, and the waves become calm, and there's peace with God. There is no mud that's coming up anymore, for Christ is now ruler of the heart. So what is the result of this peace? What is the fruit of this peace? Well, it says to us here in verse 18, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Now I have to keep this short, but stay with me. Through the preacher of peace, we have peace with God. We have vertical peace, right? There is peace between God and us, but that is not the point that Paul is making. Did you see that? Paul is making another point. Paul, yes, on the one hand, we have peace with one another, but through him, we have both have access in one spirit to the Father. What he is saying, he's saying the Gentiles and the Jews, remember, there was that division, right, where we looked at last week, that wall of division that has been broken down, and through Christ, we are now at peace. You see, the vertical peace between God and us now extends to believers from every nation, tribe, and tongue. Of course, Paul is speaking about the Jews and the Gentiles, but I think we can apply it to our day and age, where every kind of people who was in Christ, this peace extends and covers them. You see that? For through him, we both, Jew and Gentile, we both have access in one spirit through the Father. It's almost like a door. Where we were outside, different camps, wall has been broken away, and now we walk through the same door. At peace with God, at peace with one another. Beloved, are we walking in peace with one another? Are we peacemakers? You see, it's easy to just talk about it, isn't it? Wonderful, we all have peace. My dear friends, this is not some kind of peace that Paul is speaking about. He is going to a point. He is not saying we have peace with one another in the same way that you're justified. One day you will see the full effect of it. That's not what he's saying. What Paul is saying is we are brought together. We are one people. We have peace now with each other. And so we are to walk in peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. You see that? Beloved, are we peacemakers? Are we walking in peace or at war? Let us follow our Lord Jesus Christ and be a peacemaker. Like he gave us peace between God and man. So let us be at peace with one another. Let us pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. Oh, Father, it is so good to be in your house, to be in your presence where your peace reigns and speaks to all of our hearts. Father, I pray that by your Holy Spirit you would make us one. Oh, Lord, help us, for we know that only your Spirit, O Christ, makes us to be at peace with one another, for we have access through one Spirit, through you, O Christ. So, Father, we pray, help us to walk in peace and bless you. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.